Michael Graham, weekdays 10 to 2, 96.9 Boston Talks. And now, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap.
Could Massachusetts drivers soon face a roadside version of trial by camera? A state legislature is pushing for so-called red light cameras that would snap a picture if you run a light.
Overnight, Schwarzenegger came clean about his real-life true lies, saying, quote, after leaving the governor's office, I told my wife about this event, which occurred over a decade ago.
Here's a picture of her, and that is her son. The picture of the son blotted out, but that's Arnold's child there, and they were told that he bears a striking resemblance to Arnold, or her. Yes.
I think just think it's the old any port in a storm. I seriously.
Yeah,
I
know, that's it. A man walked in a suit and glasses. He said that he was part of the Secret Service, and he told me it was because of a post that I made, and it indicated as a threat towards the president.
This November, voters will be asked to ban circumcision.
2 million?
Yeah.
That's a nice haul.
Yeah, not really after the government takes taxes.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah, well, I suppose they take quite a bite.
Yeah, they do.
That's a wrap. That's a wrap. With Michael Graham on 96.9 Boston Talks.
Michael Graham and his 103 at 96.9 Boston Talks as Rapture Countdown is underway tomorrow, May 21st, 2011. The evangelical Christians in your life will instantly disappear. It's going to be a phenomenal thing. And I just want to say, as a guy who grew up in a household where we were told Baptists do not have sex standing up because they're afraid the neighbors will think they're dancing, this is a very distressing period in our lives. It is our That's Rep segment. We cover all the news of the week, and there was so much of it. And joining us today will be David Bernstein with the Boston Phoenix and a good friend of 96.9 Boston Talks. He auditioned on the Jim and Marjorie show, and he finally made into the big chair. Carl from New Hampshire. Carl's on. How's it going, Carl?
Hey, Michael. It's going great.
Thanks. Now, you've been hanging out at a movie set all week, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Are you allowed to talk about it, or is it in a self-made movie?
No, it's...
Number in it?
No,
like,
no, it's
like
not.
Nancy and the Naughty Nurses 7. It's not that.
How did I know you were going to go there?
On Golden Blonde, that wasn't it.
There are no farm animals on set, no bales of hay, pitchforks, nothing
like
that.
Well, that's weird for New Hampshire.
Yeah, it's actually, it's a Kevin James movie
that
they're filming over at the Lowell Auditorium at the Saugus Arena. And so, yeah, I've been up till about 3 in the morning for 4 days in a row.
Excellent.
So I'm a little punchy. Or more punchy than usual.
This will be your best, your best material. And yeah. I will be watching you perform Tuesday night. I'll be emceeing a comedy show with Paul D'Angelo, hilarious. Chris Zito, very funny, and then you.
Yeah.
No.
Thanks.
Tuesday night at Hopkinton High School. It's only $10, a great show, and all the details are on the Michael Graham page of 969bostontalks.com. And, there are a lot of profound stories for us to talk about, Carl. I know you do Greg Gutfeld's show on Fox News, Red Eye, obviously America's relationship with Israel, the recurring problems with the economy, 409,000 new unemployment benefit applications. But the big story is obviously Arnold, without a doubt. It is dominating America's conversation because it keeps getting multi-layered. So what parts of the Arnold story jump out at you, Carl?
Well, first of all, I don't even know where to begin, Michael. There's so many layers to this story. For one thing, I'm thinking the sham wow bill should have been a red flag at some point in that household, right? I mean, when you're buying 50, 60, 70 times more sham wows than the average household.
Right.
You know there's a moisture problem going
somewhere. Yeah. You would have to go there. Yes, yeah. Carl, absolutely. Yeah. Speaking of wow, what was your reaction when you saw the baby mama's picture for the first time?
Well, I think I called in and told Tom I hadn't seen that woman in the press that she did start and throw mama from the train. But you were talking about, does it make a difference? Does it not make a difference how she looks? Of course it makes a difference. I mean, if Mick Jagger was caught with Bella Abzug, would it make a difference?
I have one request. Can we keep our references post-1980? That's all I ask. So do we have to throw back to rock stars whose last decent song, hooking up with women who are last famous during the Nixon era?
I'm sorry. I'm carrying my 1970s reference book here.
Look, I'm the one dusting off my comedy Tuesday night. I'm the one who's going to be owning those George H.W. Bush jokes. That's me, man.
I can't wait to see you in action.
David Bernstein, why is the Arnold Schwarzenegger story so compelling? I don't think it's politician sex. There's plenty of that around. I don't think it's cheating. There's plenty of that around. I think there are more things that have made it this kind of conversation stopper, like the girlfriend wearing Maria's clothes, which I don't even physically get that, sleeping in Maria's bed, dressing her kids like Maria's kids. They had their children 5 months apart. You're a media guy. Yeah. Why is this such a compelling story?
Because he's a huge celebrity. That's why.
You think they're
both
celebrities?
Yeah, it's a celebrity scandal story. Of course, that's what it is. All the details, all the stuff that's coming out is just, the next things to talk about, because they want to keep talking about
this. Were you shocked that Arnold had a love child?
No, this is my first reaction was if you remember when he was first running, during the recall election and everything, right before the election, there was a big, from a journalistic point of view, there was sort of this scandalish kind of thing where the LA Times came out with this big hit piece on Schwarzenegger right before the election about allegations of groping and this and that, and so when I first saw this news come about this love child, I thought, oh my God, that whole time we were thinking, we were thinking that Schwarzenegger had like a lawsuit on it. And in fact, he was sitting there thinking, that's all they got. They missed the story.
Exactly. He's reading it going, this is going to end. What a wonderful journalism. By the way, David Bernstein at the Boston Phoenix, and we're going to get to your terrific front pager on the, which is totally wrong, by the way. It is not the end. The rapture is, of course, not the end of the world.
I explained this
totally
all
wrong. I know.
I explain it.
We'll get to that. How crappy are the LA Times reporters that the governor could have a love child the entire time was there, and the lead up to the election, and they do an in-depth story, which they shamelessly timed to affect the election. It had nothing to do with journalism. It was just shameless hackery by the LA Times. And then they suck as hacks. How do you not catch this?
How are you supposed to know that some child somewhere is his child? I mean, are we supposed to do DNA testing of like everyone is to see if anyone who worked for Deval Patrick to find out
the fact that he's 4 years old, he's bench pressing 150 pounds and drives a motorcycle.
Well, yeah, I don't get it. I mean, I can't sneak a Zagnut bar home without getting caught. So I don't know how these people do these multi-year, and she's the housekeeper.
Let's face it. She had the ultimate protection. Nobody looked at her and believed. Believed that Arnold Schwarzenegger had a slip. I'm just being honest. This is the natural truth, David Bernstein. How she looks matters to our judgment of Arnold Schwarzenegger. Don't you agree? That's how we evaluate his behavior.
I suppose.
Of course.
It's like the guy who does a robbery, and kills three people and gets 12 bucks. I mean, if you're Arnold Schwarzenegger or Bill Clinton, and you're going to put your marriage on the line and your wife's reputation, and you're in the public eye, I mean, to me, you're going to do it for maybe a Pam Anderson or something like that. But, for Helen Thomas.
Thank you for updating. We got to the 80s, late early 90s.
Well,
and then
I did the Helen Thomas thing.
Okay, exactly. Yeah. Did you see my point? If a guy has a story, he's like, honey, I'm sorry. I was in Vegas, and one of the strippers came out of the room and said, "There's something about your eyes." Is a room. You know what I'm saying? You've got a story that people can relate to of human weakness of in a moment of failing. But when you go, "Honey, Shrek was auditioning for a second movie in your clothes in our bed," you got nothing except for you, Arnold Schwarzenegger, are a dirtbag.
Yeah, well, he's a dirtbag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, had it been Shrek, you would have had the green stains all over the mattress. Would have been at least another red flag there.
They'd like to see green flag, kind of flag. Yeah. My favorite part is watching the L.A. press corps in particular, who were so wildly pro-Bill Clinton, who kept saying, it's none of our business, doesn't matter, no whatsoever, we don't care. I would drop to my knees for him now, all going, oh, that's Arnold Schwarzenegger, this is terrible. I'm sorry, how did it get bad when Schwarzenegger did it, and it was none of my business when Bill Clinton did it? Could you enlighten me, David Bernstein, as a water carrier for the American left, could you please tell me how that doesn't hurt your back to say suddenly this is bad?
is that how we're referring to?
Exactly.
The water carrier.
The talented writer for the Boston Phoenix, phoenix.com. Go right ahead.
Thank you. I don't know. I'm not following the LA press on this as closely as clearly you are. I mean, everyone. See, I think that Bill Clinton, everyone said, hey, you know what? He's a dirtbag, and that was no surprise to anybody. Everyone knew that when they voted him into office. It was no surprise. Right. So then it was an issue of, has this revealed a new level of dirtbagginess for
Very
us?
Very good
to,
point.
And I think that was really a lot of the debate that was going on, was what new level of dirtbagginess. Mm-hmm. This clearly is a whole new level of dirtbagginess. Yeah.
There's this fascination I always have, as you might expect, of other men watching like when a fellow man gets caught in bed. Right. You know, it's like a school of dolphins, and one of them gets into a prop on a boat, and they all kind of look the other way. Oh my God, that could have been horrible. Me. Oh, geez, that is ugly.
But that, see, this is the thing. That would never have been me. I'm not trying to be mean to the lady, except she's also a cheater, and that's one thing people talk about. She was married. She was cheating. She had this psychotic, fixation on Maria, apparently, based on the way she dressed her children, and was gal-palling the woman whose husband she's cheating with while they're both pregnant. So she's got a whole arena there too. But I'm sorry, that's not going to be me. I'm not going to be with Ernest Borgnine. I'm sorry, it's just not going to happen at all. This is where I disagree with Dave Bernstein, and I'll go to Carl Zahn, comedian Carl Zahn, a regular feature on Fox News on the Red Eye show, is I think it is the details that have bumped the story up. I think it is all that stuff. I mean, you're in her bed. And
absolutely.
Your pictures are, you know what I'm saying? You're not at a hotel somewhere where, you know, the smarmy inn. You know, you're right there in your bed with your
It's absolutely that. I think most people can understand, like you said, maybe you're in a bad marriage and a loveless marriage and your physical, you know, all these different things. Or in Arnold's case, your wife is Maria Shriver, whose face could just go on Mount Rushmore today and no one would even notice. But... like you said, you might forgive a failing, a momentary failing, or you fell in love with someone else and you had this, but this is just this weird thing. And like you said, in the house, in their bedroom, amongst their family, it's horrid. It's horrible.
So where does this go? Does the story have any legs? Everybody's seen you watch the media and how they cover things. Are there legs beyond the details? Sure. In other words, I don't think it says anything about his politics, which were left politics anyway. I don't think it says anything about his career. There's really nothing else to run for. He can't run for president. Doesn't this turn into pure soap opera?
This becomes one of these celebrity scandal things. Mm-hmm. Because you're right. There's no political aspect to his career.
Yeah, if the story does have legs, it's short, stocky, hairy.
Is there any Republican candidate for the nomination who wanted Arnold Schwarzenegger's endorsement?
Well, that's... I do think that he was a major... Not in the primary, but he's the kind of guy who at a Republican convention gets up and makes a primetime speech and it has
it has
a good effect because independents look at him as but now they may not.
Now let me flip to another ancillarily politically marriage story, and I think it's fascinating because it's kind of similar to my parents' story. Mitch Daniels and his wife Sherry were married. They had four kids. The kids were not that young. I mean, one was in the early teens down to 4 years old, and his wife falls in love with another man, leaves the family, leaves the kids, goes out to California, marries this other man who's apparently was married to. Then after 3 years, and we can project what happened, what comes to her senses. We don't know what, but she comes back and says, "Mitch, I want to be married again. Let's put our family together." And Mitch Daniels' only public comment about it is, I think it's a great story. It's a love story. Love and love of our children prevail. That's all he said about it. And I thought it was fascinating that according to Politico, some of the other GOP, they wouldn't say who, but some unnamed GOP campaign was offering the name of the ex of the guy that Sherry ran off to. You know, they're trying to make a story of this. David Bernstein, even among Republican voters where character issues, let's face it, are higher than on your team, does this have any insight here? You guys will vote for anyone. You don't care. Barney Frank could have his boyfriend turning tricks in the basement at his apartment in D.C. and you guys will reelect him. But for Republicans, characters matters. Is this an issue?
You're right. There haven't been any sex scandals involving Republicans in recent years. This is why the presidential contest right now is between John Ensign and Mark Sanford, right? Is that?
I think Sanford's going to come out the dark horse in the race.
So to answer your question, the one thing that I think is an issue there is that she left the kids, and that when you talk about it, especially a lot of women voters, like that's just wrong.
But that's about her.
But here's what. Right, and so that becomes sort of a family kind of. It becomes, you know, how are they going to judge? Mm-hmm. What really happens in these things is that if the sort of political establishment wants to get rid of the candidate, these things become a huge deal. If they don't, then it doesn't become a deal. And I can show you exactly how that happens because Newt Gingrich is pummeled daily over this. Mm-hmm. Can't turn around without being pummeled about his horrible personal relationship.
Which was horrible, by the way.
Absolutely.
I mean, no question. Hi, honey. How's your cancer treatment going? Here's my divorce paper. Yeah. I mean,
all right. The nominee for the Republicans last time around, who got up at the convention and showed this beautiful gauzy video about her love life with Senator McCain, and talked about that great moment when it was love at first sight when they first met. Okay, this was the video they're playing to the national. Okay, he was married when they fell in love. I was actually watching the thing. I turned to my wife and said, "Is that okay when you're married to have love at first sight with somebody else and go sleep with them and then carry on an affair for several years with her and others and then pick her because she had the rich dad, you know, and left her because she was so McCain got a free pass from the Republicans on that because they wanted him.
McCain was outwardly apologetic too and remiss.
He had gotten back from his prisoner of war camp in northern Vietnam where he was repeatedly beaten and tortured, and so I think people give him. But I'm not disputing that. I happen to think that I'm not a McCain fan, never have been a McCain fan, and I've actually met Cindy and interviewed her for an hour, and I would rather be waterboarded myself than spend another minute in a room with her. But I don't agree with David is that that there's some force that can decide this. I really think, particularly this year, if you can't get the energized average voter that people lump into the Tea Party, even though it's a much broader group, if you can't get the energized average, I'm mad about what's been going on the last few years, guy. You can't get them, and that they're going to decide if it's important to Mitch Daniels. Does this say anything to you about Mitch Daniels' character that this happened?
It does. Well, it says a lot to me positively about Mitch. I mean, as far as him taking back his wife and forgiveness and giving a second chance to get the, you know, and then just making a statement and then hoping that the end of it. But I think David's right. It'll be a media decision whether or not they want to tear him apart.
I don't think the media can crack this nut.
Mitch Daniels is enough of a factor that anyone cares at this point.
He will be, is my prediction. And my prediction is that 3 months from now, the race will be Mitch Daniels and somebody else. So that's going to be how the race is going to shake down. He hasn't even gotten in yet. But my point is, I think the story is so compellingly pro-woman, in other words, that his treatment of his wife and everything, I think it's going to be a positive for Mitch Daniels. But we'll see. That's why I asked you guys, Dave Bernstein with the Boston Phoenix, who erroneously declares the end of the world tomorrow. No, it's just the rapture tomorrow, David, you dope. And Carl's, I'll give you a chance to explain. And Carl's on, comedian Carl's on, Carl from New Hampshire. All here is part of our That's a Wrap segment. When we come back, end of the world, red light cameras, and circumcisions. We'll be comparing ours on the air on 96.9 Boston Talks.
Boston Talks.
It's 1:24. I am Michael Graham. Instead of calling into the Confession Hotline, Carl Zahn, Carl from Hampshire, will be here to help be part of the mockery of the Confession Hotline that's coming up in about 23 minutes here on 96.9 Boston Talks. And here to be mocked is the shamelessly knee-jerk liberal David Bernstein from the Boston Phoenix. We got a lot of other stuff to get to, including the millionaire on food stamps story and a lot of great stories. But the cover of the Boston Phoenix, you want to explain? The end of the world. Would you please explain how this is not true, please?
Yes, I don't come up with the headline.
Is the end?
Copy.
Is this the end? Is it the end tomorrow?
No, tomorrow's the rapture.
Okay.
Tomorrow's the rapture when some millions of true believers will be brought up to heaven.
By the way, could you loan me $100? I promise to pay you back on the 22nd.
I write in there about all my plans for after the Christians are gone.
Yes, bliss of rapture. Farewell, Christians. Don't let the gates of paradise hit you on the ass on your way out. That's a message from David Bernstein.
Yeah, that's what I wrote.
That's not very loving.
I'm very loving. I love everybody. I'm not the one who's leaving and saying you're stuck behind.
But as a member of the tribe, what are you planning on doing once we're out of here?
I'm just saying I'm not thrilled that I'm being left to serve the Antichrist and then die in a river of blood. That's not my choice. Mm-hmm. But if that's the way it's going to be, I mean, I'm going to move into one of the South End apartments that's being vacated. I'm going to I ask people if you. Be good Christians and tidy up before you go and leave the keys in the Lexus for me, and there's going to be a lot less traffic. Mm-hmm. Apparently, all the small children automatically get raptured.
That's right. That's a very good point.
Yeah. So, air travel, a whole
much
different
easier,
experience.
Yeah. Although if you're in the daycare industry, this could be a real setback.
Well, yeah, there will be some economic consequences. I also point out in there that, the Chinese, are going to outnumber us like 100-1 because, very few Christians, relatively speaking, over there. So economically, there will be there will be tough times.
Carl Zahn, any thoughts, any concerns about the rapture occurring tomorrow?
Well, I don't know where to begin. You probably noticed I'm wearing black pants, brand new sneakers, and a pocket full of quarters. And then someone told me, no, no, that was Heaven's Gate. There's no mothership coming.
Is that up to a 90s reference? Is that?
We're close.
We're getting close.
Hale Bop was the late 90s, wasn't it?
Thanks. I'm asking everyone that is leaving if they could just tie a yellow ribbon on their door. I'd like to know which apartments and homes are empty, so I want to do like a week or 10-day looting spree, and then have a big yard sale when it's all over. Yeah.
That's just so mean-spirited of you to want to take advantage of this.
It's not mean-spirited.
Let me ask you, we were talking earlier, David, about how this, I think it's safe to say, fringe member of Christianity is out spreading this. Do you have any ballpark notion of how many actual believers he has? Because I know the vast majority of evangelicals, particularly Southern evangelicals, do not buy this activity. He doesn't speak for it en masse.
Right. But he does control a very wide-ranging set of radio stations that they've been preaching on. He's got a lot of money where he's sending people out around the world to,
what do you mean?
To preach this. Well, he's sending missions. He's been sending missions out to Africa.
Did you tell the story that you were just
That there was one of the things that drew my attention is that one of the evangelical leaders in the South wrote a column saying we have to start taking this seriously. This was some time ago because he had been on one of his missions to Africa, and he got to a village, and it turned out that they all thought the world was ending on May 21st because the other guys' groups had been there had been there first. So it's hard. I mean, A, it's hard to say how many people, and B, it's hard to say how many of them are, how seriously they take it, and how many of them are going to be really upset, the next day because,
Reading the news stories, and there aren't a lot of them, but of the families where they're arguing about where we're going to go for vacation. What's the point of plotting vacation? We won't be here. Wow. Well,
my colleague Chris Ferrone went on the bus. They've got a Rapture bus, which actually, for I don't know what reason, is ending. They're ending up in Boston.
Yeah, because these are the sinners that are the most interested in seeing suffer.
Absolutely. Well, that's exactly right. But I really do think that a lot of this rapture movement is really about the eagerness of wanting to see it. It's very much the sort of I told you
exactly
system,
absolutely
you know?
Right,
and part of that is seeing everyone else suffer. And I gotta tell you, I've read the Left Behind books, that last book where Jesus comes and rips everybody's flesh off while the good guys get to be over here. I mean, it's just viciously
but when you think about when Revelations was written, which this is loosely, and when I was saying what I said in the show earlier, there are plenty of people who have a working Christian theology that does not involve snatching into the sky or a mano fist fight between the Antichrist and Jesus, settling it down. But the things that were happening to Christians at the time this was being written, when they were being tortured, you can see what would inspire this vision.
First of all, I just say that I rode the Rapture bus on the way home from
senior
prom years ago. Let me just say that is a heck of a ride. I'm more inclined to think the end of the world is coming when I see things like those massive tornadoes down south and stuff like that. Like, that's the kind of stuff that makes me think, wow, we're so vulnerable. But it is amazing to me that there are more than 15 people on the face of the earth that would buy into something like this.
I'd say the end times I'm looking for, President Obama having a coherent foreign policy. Oh my gosh, what happened here? Yesterday he gave a speech in which he announced George Bush was even more right than I originally thought. This huge neocon speech about, it's about spreading democracy. It's not about our immediate interests, which of course undermines everything he said about Egypt and Libya and the rest of the world up to this point. Carl, do we know yet who the president of the United States is, or is President Obama still putting the pieces together of this cast of thousands inside his head? Or is he just going to call Bush and say, you know what, why don't you just come back in and take over, really? Because you did a lot better job running Gitmo than I'm doing.
For a long time, I thought that President Bush was just carrying on the family Bush tradition of being demure and being a gentleman by keeping his mouth shut after leaving office and not armchair quarterbacking. But I've recently begun to think that he's just not giving
Michael Graham, weekdays 10 to 2, 96.9, Boston Talks.